Somebody ought to praise God right here. Y'all know that worship don't stop when the music stops. Worship doesn't stop when the prayer stops. But how many people know that every second of your life ought to be a worship to your God? And somebody wake up this morning and give God some praise on this morning that he put breath in your lungs. The song says it's his breath that's in our lungs. So I'm going to worship him. I don't know about you, but I'm going to worship him on today because it's his breath that's literally creating my blood to flow from my brain to my toes. It's his breath that allows my blood to travel through these veins. It's his breath that expands my lungs and contracts my lungs and continues to allow the cells in my body to live. It's his breath that gives me everything that I need. I don't know about you, man, but that's enough for me to give God praise. So how about you? It's his breath. And he don't have to give his breath, but he gives his breath so freely to each and every one of us. Y'all, every time I come to Message of Hope, y'all speak to me. So I want to thank God for your ministry. I want to thank God for your leadership. I want to thank God for your pastor, the Dr. Rupert Bushner. I contacted this morning, and he's in great spirits. I told him I don't know why he allowed me to come on his pulpit. That's a preacher. Come on, somebody. He's a great man of God, but I thank God that he trusted me with this moment. And I thank you, church, for being here today. I believe God has a word. How about you? Now I want to make sure that we're not incongruent on this morning, because I came here to worship God. I want to let you know that worship is not a spectator sport. Come on, somebody. In other words, we don't just sit back and watch worship, but we participate in worship. And so I'm going to be asking that through this sermonic presentation, that not only would you read the words that's written in the word, but that you would begin to apply it even right now in your life. Is that all right? Is that all right? So I want to invite you to stand to your feet really quickly as we go to the word of God. I want to go to a very familiar scripture. I hope that this scripture is one that breathes some life into you as it did for me. But I want you to go to the very first book in the Gospels. I want you to go to the book of Matthew. And go with me to chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to read verse 18 to verse number 24. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. To verse number 24. My wife ain't here. That means I got all day. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I want to make sure you got the word with you. Come on now. Don't just look up on the screen. I want you to go ahead and open up your Bible. Get it up on your phone, your iPad. The reason why, you can't trust everything that comes from the pulpit. Come on, somebody. You've got to make sure that you can go home and you can talk about the preacher. Come on, somebody. And make sure that the word says what the word is supposed to say. In other words, we want to make sure that you have the word in your hand. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse number 18. If you got it, say, I've got it. If you don't have it, say, wait a minute. I'm going to wait for you. It's all right. It's all right. I heard you. God wait for me, so I'm going to wait for you too. Come on, Matthew. First book of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, the very first chapter. I want you to peruse down towards the bottom of that chapter to verse number 18. I'm going to read from the New International Version. But I want you to read from your respective versions because it's better for you to understand what the word of God says. Amen, somebody. Are y'all with me this morning? All right, here's what the word of God says. Verse 18, the Bible says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, who did I say? Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before, somebody say before. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. My God. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. My God. That man trying to get rid of his wife. Come on, somebody. Because he thought she was from the streets. My Lord. Verse number 20 said it this way, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord, who did I say? an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because, listen to this, the Bible says, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Somebody say Holy Spirit. The Bible says in verse 21, she will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill into this what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And they will call him what, everyone? Which means what, everyone? God with us. Verse 24, the Bible says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. I know it's a very familiar story, but if you would just hold on with me and help me as we kind of walk through the text today, I'd like to preach under the simple sermonic title, God's Plan. God's plan. And if I could put a subtitle to this, I would subtitle this, Expect the Unexpected. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, today we're going to find out about God's plan. All right, now that you got some good starting point, I want you to look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, just in case you didn't hear it, today you've got to expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Let's go to the God of the Word. Father in heaven, in this moment I pray that you would consume this space with your spirit. I pray, Father God, that anything that is not like you, anything, God, that would bring distractions, anything, God, that would oppose what you want to do here today, I pray, Father God, that you would rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, that today, that only your voice would be heard, that only your spirit would be felt, but most importantly, that your son, Jesus Christ, would be high and lifted up. We pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Let every believer say amen. And amen, you may be seated all over the building. God's plan. We are at the tail end of the first month of a brand new year. I thought about asking the question, where are you on your resolution lists? But I have a sneaky suspicion that many people under the sound of my voice have quit their resolution list by day number three. Some of y'all came into 2025, said this is going to be the year where I'm going to be alive. You said this is going to be the year where I'm going to lose the weight. Come on, somebody. And lose at least 2 inches around my belly. This is going to be the year where I find the person that God wanted for me. This is going to be the year where I finally get the promotion that I've been dreaming of. This is the year where I'm going to finally write the book. This is going to be the year where the thing that I have been asking for and praying for will be realized. But we're at the tail end of the first month of a brand new year, and I'm scared to ask you, where are you with those plans? If you're real enough and you're a real Christian, if you're a real human, I would say, You would say to me, Pastor, I understand what you're talking about, because everyone has plans. Whether you write them down or whether you plan them in advance, everyone has a plan of what you want your week to look like, what you want your 6-month trajectory to look like. Everyone talks about what they want their life to be in 5 and 10 years, where they see themselves in their career, where they see their kids when they grow up. Everyone has plans, but here is the problem with our plans. Sometimes God doesn't listen to our plans, and he interjects with his plans. I don't know if you've been a Christian long enough to experience this, but I am a planner by nature. Y'all, forgive me, but I just got to be real. I normally try to plan at least 12 months in advance, which means that right now I'm already trying to think about the theme for 2026. My brain is already operating well in advance, well past where I am right now. But I often find myself in a place of disappointment because every time I plan to details, every time I put enough space in my plan to allow God to move, God normally shatters my plan and inserts his plan. Have you ever been there in your life where you put your stuff together, come on somebody, you said this is exactly what's going to happen, I want it to happen just like this, and when it finally happened, it did not happen the way that you thought it was going to happen? Have you ever been there before? Where you put your plans out front, you put your plans on Main Street, you put your plans on the page, but God came in and with a big eraser, erased your plan and put his plan. And when God puts his plans, it don't always feel good. If you understand the feeling, then you're actually in the text. Because the Bible says that Mary and her betrothed by the name of Joseph are engaged. Somebody say engaged. Now you've got to know a little bit of background so you can understand this point, because the Bible says that they're engaged, and I need you to realize that if you are engaged in that time, it's different than being engaged in this time. See, in this time you can be engaged and nobody knows about it. Come on somebody. You can be engaged and not post it on social media. You can be engaged and get married the very next day. But that didn't happen back in Mary's day. No, when people were engaged back in Mary's day, I need you to realize that two families had to come together and they had to talk about what is going to look like, how it's going to benefit each family. And it was only after both families agreed that one brother and one sister would come together to benefit the entire family would they be able to claim the status of being engaged. In other words, before they could say they're engaged, everybody knew about it. Somebody say everybody. The reason why this is important is because I need you to realize that their engagement does not mean that they are in the pre-stages where Joseph is trying to get her to like him. No, engagement means that it is solidified that they are going to get married, which means the only thing that Joseph and Mary are doing at this point of scripture is they are planning what their wedding is going to look like. Right now, she's planning what kind of dress she's going to buy, what tone it's going to be. Right now, Joseph is planning on what house they're going to live in. Right now, they're planning on who's going to be the DJ, what day is going to start, what day is going to stop. Right now, they're planning on what kind of music is going to play, what kind of wine is going to flow, who's going to cook what. Right now, they're planning the details of their wedding. And I need you to realize that this is crucial for your understanding, because it is at the pivotal point of them planning their life and planning their future and planning their wedding and planning their marriage that the Bible literally cuts them short and says God comes in without any notice and he impregnates Mary. In other words, they got their plans. Come on, somebody. But God's got his plans. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says it this way, that literally the Holy Spirit impregnates Mary, which means at this point, Mary has now got a bump. So she can't fit in the dress that she planned on wearing. Nope, she can't even have the wedding that she dreamed of, because if they find out that she's pregnant and she's getting married, everyone's going to think that she's from the streets and no one's going to know who her baby daddy is. Because who really gets impregnated by the Holy Spirit? Y'all ain't talking back to me. Come on, somebody. God throws in his plans, even though they've been crafting their plans. And see, the first thing this text teaches us, and I want you to write this thing down if you're a note taker. The first thing this text actually teaches us is that sometimes things don't happen the way you planned them.
Things don't happen the way you plan them sometimes because God comes in out of nowhere and he interjects your plan with his plan. But family, please don't get it twisted. When God interjects your plan and places his plans, it's not that God is caught by surprise by your plans. It's not that God came up all of a sudden with his plans. Oftentimes, if God puts his plans above your plans, that means that his plans have been curated before creation. Y'all ain't talking back to me. Let me make it simplified for you. I need you to understand that when God interjects with his plans above your plans, it is simply because if he planned it, he's already prepared for it. Y'all ain't talking back to me. In other words, the scripture helps us to realize it's in the Bible. The Bible says that by the time Mary gets pregnant, God is already orchestrating everything to align so that by the time Jesus come into the world, that the stars would be just right and the star would be able to burn with such stress that the Magi would follow it right to where he is. God is already planning and preparing for his plan. Y'all ain't talking back to me. In other words, God already knew that by the time Jesus would be born, that Mary and Joseph would be broke with no money and they'd be sitting in a barn. So he already talked to the Magi and made sure that one Magi had enough gold to give. One Magi had enough frankincense to give. One Magi had enough myrrh to give. So that by the time the plan came into fruition, that God already showed that he prepared for it. And this is the reason why sometimes we ought not get mad when God changes your plan. Because if God changed your plan, he's already prepared for it. If God changes your diploma or your career path, God has already created an exact way of how you're going to bring that thing about into fruition. In other words, if God changed the person that you're dating, that means that God already knew that that Negro or that Negrette ain't right for you. Come on, somebody. And he's got somebody standing on the side that's going to bless your life. If God changes your plan, that means he's prepared for it. Family, let me put it this way. I remember the day I got married. It was December 2nd, 2012 at 4:37 p.m. I remember the day that my wife walked through those double doors and it was like a halo that suspended above her head. I remember the tears that was flowing in her eyes as she took a step forward. And every step she took, my heart started beating louder. I remember just how weak in the knees I was, that my brother had to hold me up from the back so that I don't look like a punk. Come on, somebody. He wanted to make sure that I don't just fall to the ground. I remember like it was yesterday, the day I got married. But y'all, the reason why I remember it, not because my wife is fine as wine. Come on, somebody. Not because I just remember the time. Come on, somebody. I remember the day I got married because that was the day where God put everything into action. Can I give you a little bit of background? Y'all, as we were kind of planning, we had 1 year engagement. We were engaged for exactly 1 year. And like while we were engaged, man, we was planning on what our life was going to look like, where we going to live. And y'all, you know, like we was young, so we didn't really know about bills, you know what I'm saying? We didn't really understand about how mortgages work and how rent work. And I remember, man, because I remember because in my brain, I said, man, on the day that I get married, I'm going to give my wife everything that she wants. And every man knows that if you're going to get married with a woman, you've got to plan an even better honeymoon. You can't have no $40,000 wedding. Come on, somebody. And go back and live in an apartment. Come on, somebody. Y'all ain't talking back to me. You can't have no $60,000 wedding and not have anything to show for it on the back end. Come on, somebody. But see, the problem with that picture is I was broke. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, hold on, man. It's been like 13 years later. I'm still broke. I don't get it. Come on, somebody. But I remember it because I remember us talking about some prospective places for honeymoons. And when I started counting my coins and started looking at my bank account, I realized that I got a checking and a savings. And, you know, it just don't operate the same way that your checking and your savings operate. And I realized that I didn't have enough money to bring her to a honeymoon. But, you know, my wife, God blessed me with such a beautiful wife that I finally got the courage to talk to my wife and tell her, baby, I don't have enough money right now, but I promise you, if you just wait, we'll go on a honeymoon in a few more months. And my wife, being so delicate and being so amazing and being the one that was for me, she said, honey, I get it. As long as I'm married to you, that's enough. She gave me those encouraging words, and it got me to the point where I started working like a maniac. I started working extra hours and finding side hustles so I can get a little bit of extra cash, and I was able to get enough money so that I can purchase us the honeymoon of our dreams. But she had no idea. So I purchased a nice honeymoon package in the Bahamas, y'all. I purchased the flights, and I made sure that everything was set. And I was asking myself, should I tell her or should I just make it a surprise? And I realized, because of my personality, I like surprises even better. So y'all, listen, on the day that we got married, which was December 2nd, 2012, the very next day, we had planned it together that we were going to sit in the living room. We were going to go through all the cards. We was going to reminisce about our wedding day. We was going to talk about what the day before looked like. But on the very next day, what I did was I called a friend of mine, asked him to call me and ask me to bring him to the airport, because I knew that if he called me and asked me to bring him to the airport and I put the phone on speaker, my wife, because she's amazing, would say yes. And exactly what I thought is exactly what happened. Next morning, my friend called me. This is now December 3rd. Early in the morning, my friend called me, asked me to bring him to the airport. I said, man, it's the day after my wedding. But because my wife heard it, she said, let's go ahead and bring him to the airport. She hopped in the car, not realizing that I had already packed all her clothes into a duffel bag, and it was sitting in the trunk of the car. We picked up my friend, brought him to the airport, and my wife is sitting in the passenger side, have no idea what's happening, because she's waiting on us to go back home and read those cards, to go back home and reminisce about the day before. She's waiting for us to execute our plans. But family, while my wife was sitting in the passenger side, I walked out of the car and I came by the passenger side, opened up the door and asked my wife if she would just step out and take two steps forward. My wife, being the cautious person that she is, realized that we were parked in front of an airport, and she's trying to figure out why everybody out the car. Because if everybody's out the car, that means our car is about to get towed. Come on, somebody. And she's so concerned about our car being towed that she missed everything that was happening in front of her until she looked down and realized the bag that was on the floor looked like her bag. And then she realized that we were going on a honeymoon. Family, let me tell you something. That was one of the best honeymoons. Come on, somebody. The only honeymoon that I'll ever have in my life. Come on, somebody. But finally, the reason why I'm giving you that story is I'm trying to help you to understand that me and my wife, we had our plans. But what she did not understand was that there was a plan that was being concocted without her knowledge. There was a plan that was being concocted without her understanding the details. There was a plan that was better than our plans that was coming to fruition. And if she was a sour face, if she said no, if she fought it, she would have never experience the joy and the luxuries of the next plan. The reason why I'm saying that to somebody is because somebody right now, you are at the end of January in 2025 and things have shifted in a way that you don't like. You're at the end of January in 2025 and right now you're thinking to yourself, what I've got marked down on my paper is nothing compared to what life is actually looking like. And honey, the reason why this is important for you to understand is that if God interjected his plans over your plans, that means his plans will be the better plans for your life. Sometimes things don't always go the way you want them. But see, the second thing this text teaches us, and I want y'all to see this thing in the text, is sometimes God plans cause some discomfort. Somebody say discomfort. Can I show you this in the text? See, the text literally says, sometime, man, we got to walk through the text. Because the text says that Mary gets pregnant. The angel goes to Mary and Joseph and tell both of them what's happening. That's in the text. But the text says because Joseph is faithful. That's the word that's used. Come on now. Because he's a faithful man of the law, he says to himself that he's going to divorce her quietly. Y'all ain't get it. How can he be faithful and be disobedient to God at the same time? Y'all ain't talking back to me. In other words, the Bible calls him faithful. That is the attribute that is used to describe who Joseph is. But when you look at what Joseph does, it is not a faithful thing that he does, because if he was faithful to the law, if he was faithful to God, he would just do what the angel of the Lord just told him to do, which is to marry this girl. But this man is so concerned about his reputation and what other people are going to say about him and his family that he goes against the word and he tries to divorce her in private. Woo. Because he understands that his reputation is about to take a hit. But do you know that he's not the only person in the text that's facing some discomfort? Can I go to the text and humanize the text for you in a second? Because the Bible says, listen to this, these are the details of the text. The Bible said the one who was pregnant, her name is Mary. She's a virgin. In other words, she's pregnant. Her name is Mary. And she's a virgin. It's details that you cannot swing past, because I need you to understand that because she is pregnant, she is facing the ultimate discomfort. Y'all like, y'all never been pregnant before. Come on, somebody. If you've never been pregnant, let me just let you know what you're looking forward to. Come on, somebody. Being pregnant doesn't just mean a beautiful baby just comes out of you out of nowhere and life just looks amazing. I need you to understand that there's about 9 months of turmoil that you've got to endure. There's about 9 months of you not being able to sleep properly in the bed. There's about 9 months of your mood swings going up and down. There's about 9 months of you not knowing what to eat. There's a 9 months where you get hot one moment and then get cold one moment. There's 9 months of you walking around with swollen feet. There's 9 months of you not fitting into any one of the clothes that's in your closet because you've got to buy a brand new wardrobe. There is 9 months of people staring at you everywhere you go because you've got a whole living being on the inside of you. 9 months of discomfort. But can I push it a little further? She's not just pregnant. Woo! Family, listen to me. The Bible says she's a virgin. Y'all ain't talking back to me. In other words, she's got literally the Son of God brewing on the inside of her, waiting for her to finally pop the baby out, and she ain't got no doctor or no Advent help to go to. She don't have no anesthesia. She don't have no doctor. She doesn't have no epidural. She doesn't have no midwife. She doesn't have anybody to guide her through this process. She has literally got to bear the big head of this son out of a womb that's never been navigated before. Y'all ain't talking back to me. It's already hard enough to have been navigated and then have a baby. Y'all understand what I'm talking about. Come on, somebody. But it's a whole nother thing to have never been navigated before, never been stretched, never been touched. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that this virgin woman is going to bear a big-headed little boy named Jesus. I ain't never met a small-headed boy. Come on, somebody. Coming out of a woman. Come on, somebody. And I need you to understand this, because this is the humanity of the text, that she now has to face this magnitude of discomfort. And it is not because she chose to do it. It's simply because God interjected her plans and put his plans over her life. In other words, the whole reason why she's got to go through this discomfort, the whole reason why she's got to go through this body deformity, the whole reason she's got to go through this process is simply because God did it. And sometimes when God interjects his plans over our plans, it's going to be uncomfortable. Sometime when God puts his plans over our plans, it's not going to feel very good. Sometimes when God puts his plans over our plans, it's going to feel like we're going through a valley of indecision, a valley of pain and turmoil, a valley all by ourselves. Sometimes when God interjects his plans over our plans, it ain't going to feel right. But Family, here's what I know Mary understood. When you can't understand God's plan, you've got to trust in his purpose. Sometimes when you don't understand the details of how God is doing something and why God is doing something, you've got to trust in the fact that God's purpose for your life is to better your life, is to make your life great, is to bless your life. Sometimes all you have to hold on to is the purpose of God. Y'all, I know this all too well because I watched when I was a little child, my mother, who was in her mid-30s, try to take care of a home with babies in it. I watched my mother as she worked 3 jobs every single day of the week to make sure that there was food in the refrigerator, to make sure that there was clothes on our backs. And then on the weekends, where she should have put her swollen feet up and rested on the bed, she would bring us to church and we would be in church all day long, because my mother understood that the turmoil that she's going through right now, she might not understand why she's got to go through it, but one thing that she did know is there was a purpose in it. She wanted to make sure that her kids have a better tomorrow than they have on today. Family, hear me, family. Sometimes what happens is when God disrupts us when his plans and we begin to go through turmoil, sometimes we throw our hands up, throw the towel, and turn our backs and try to walk away from God because it don't feel right. But child of God, you've got to hold on because it's not your plans, it's God's plans. And everyone knows that sometimes before you can see the light, you've got to go through the storm. Everyone knows before you can see a good day, you've got to go through some bad days. Everyone knows that when God has a purpose over your life, the devil will try everything that he can to try to disrupt God's plan for your life, which is why he's going to cause hell in your life. But if you just hold on, you'll be able to see God's purpose for your life. Causes some discomfort sometimes. Here's the final point. Sometimes things don't always happen the way you want them to. The text also teaches us God's plan sometimes may cause some disruption or some discomfort. But family, I don't want you to miss this point right here because this thing blessed my life. The text also teaches us, that God's plans, family, hear me today, God's plans always accompanies his presence. Can you see Joseph and Mary as they're sitting there confused of what's about to happen next? Can you understand the pain that they're going through? And while the angel is giving them the directions for their life, he gives this caveat that the Bible says. He says, you're going to call him Jesus because I want you to make sure that this name or this baby fulfills the prophecy that was told in the Old Testament that said that his name will be called Emmanuel. Let's go to verse 23. The Bible said the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Listen to this. The Bible literally gives us the meaning of the word. Just in case you think that I'm making it up, the Bible said the meaning of the name Emmanuel literally means God with us. God. In other words, you about to go through some plans that's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to go through a season of your life where it's going to feel confusing. You're going to go through a season of your life where you're going to feel alone. But here is the promise I want you to hold on to. His name will be Emmanuel, which literally means God with us. Family, the reason why that thing gets me so excited, because it doesn't say God who's above us. It doesn't say God who's behind us, but it says God who stands with us. That means no matter the trouble that you go through in your life, no matter how dark the days may be, God is going to be with you. And this is the reason why Psalm 23 and verse 4 is able to say, yea, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil because he is with me. As long as God is with you and standing beside beside you and walking with you. There is nothing that you should be afraid of because God is with you. Here's why this is important. It's important because someone under the sound of my voice have seen a brand new year, but everything has shifted from what you thought it was supposed to be to what you never knew could be. And right now, some of you are tempted to run away. Some of you are tempted to give up. Some of you are tempted to turn your back. Some of you are tempted not to talk to God about it. But here's the promise of the text. When God interjects his plans over your plans, his plans always accompanies his presence. Family, do you realize that the Bible says the presence of the Lord is what gives us liberty? The presence of the Lord is what's able to break chains. The presence of the Lord is all you need in this life and the next. And if you have the presence of the Lord with you, there is nothing that you are currently going through or will ever go through in your life that you'll never, ever be able to overcome. It's God's plans. It's not my plans. It's God's plans. And family, I don't know what your story is, and I don't know specifically where you are today, but here's what I do know. That some people right now, your life has been flipped upside down, and you've been wondering, why in the world am I going through this? Some folk under the sound of my voice, you've been planning 2025 since the middle of 2024. You had all these plans of what it's going to look like and what you're going to do and how you're going to excel and how it's going to be your year. But when you look at the details of what's happening on today, it doesn't look like it's shaping out to be the year that you planned it to be. But family, if it's God's plans, God will protect you, preserve you, and give you a better end than you could ever plan for yourself. Because he's with you. I'm done. But I believe there's somebody under the sound of my voice who's been struggling to relinquish their plans and give it all to God's hands. But today you're ready to make the step. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet right now. You want to put your plans in God's hands. God, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I have no idea how we're going to get out of this. I don't understand how the finances are going to work. I don't get how you're going to protect my child to be raised in an environment where everything looks like it's pulling them away from you. I don't know what my career is going to look like next month. I don't get if I'm going to pass the class because the teacher that I've got right now seems like they're hell-bent on failing every student. I don't know what your story is, but today is a day where you relinquish your plans and put it in God's hands. Someone else under the sound of my voice, you've already relinquished it. You've already submitted to God. But you're going through some hell right now that nobody knows about. And you need the assurance of heaven to remind you that it's not your plans. My daughter sits in the back of the car every time we take a long drive. And she sits on her tablet. She sits on her juice, eats her snacks, and she's not worried about traffic. She's not worried about the temperature. She's not worried about the length because she knows that she's not the one in charge of the journey. And right now, someone has been getting disrupted. Your life seems like it's been in shambles. You've submitted to God, but right now you've been tempted to try to step in and do your own thing because it don't seem like it's going the way that you expected it. And today you need a reminder from heaven. It ain't your journey to plan. That God is going to take care of it. If that's you, I want you to stand up right now because I want to pray a special prayer over your life. Someone today, I'd be remiss if I did not say this, but this whole sermon is talking about God's plan. But someone needs to give their life to the God who holds that plan. He can't navigate your life if you don't give him control over your life. He cannot be Lord, master, ruler over the life that you're holding on to. Someone under the sound of my voice, you need to finally just give your life to him. That looks like starting Bible studies. That looks like being baptized. That looks like being rebaptized. That is a simple external symbol of saying, God, not I, but you who rules this life. And I don't know if that's you on today, but you need to be baptized. Rebaptized. Rededicated. Start Bible studies. If that's you, I just want you to simply lift your hands up today so that we can find you, connect with you, and walk you through this journey. Because you need to know the God who's got the plans for your life and what he has planned for your life. If you're watching online right now, I want you to go right now in the comment box. Just put these simple words, it's me. And we're going to direct message you and make sure that we can connect with you to get you through this journey. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Father, God, we thank you that before this day came, that God, you already had plans to allow us to live the best life that we could ever live. We thank you, God, that before we concocted our plans, that before the foundation of the earth, you had plans, God, to give us an expected end, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us, a plan to lift us and not to lower us, a plan to magnify the gifts that you've bestowed inside of us, a plan to better our lives. We thank you, Jesus, for looking at us like treasure. Father, the reality of it is that all of us, God, we have our own plans. God, we look at this life and we've got plans on what we want our tomorrow to look like, what we want our house to feel like, what kind of car we want to drive. We've got plans because, God, we have been comparing what we can see in this carnal world. But, God, we relinquish it on today and allow you to take over our lives with your plans. Because there is not a house on this earth that would ever surpass the house that you're building for us in eternity. There is not a spouse, God, that can give us the kind of joy that only heaven can bring. Father God, we relinquish our plans and we put it in your hands. Even though we don't know what tomorrow's going to look like or feel like, even when we cannot understand the details of your plan, we will put it in your hands because we trust in your purpose. Father, for the individual, God, who's already submitted. God, but right now they've been going through turbulence. Things have been so rocky that they've been tempted to let go. God, I pray that you would give them Holy Ghost encouragement and help them to understand, to reassure their grip on your hand. I am praying, Father God, that you will remind them that you've called them your children. And parents, take care of children. Help them, God, to understand that the journey is not theirs, but it's yours to plan and execute. Help them, Jesus, to finally understand that, God, when this road is over, that their life is going to be better than they could ever plan for their life. Help them to know their position in you, to trust you with everything that they have. And for the individuals, both in-house and online, who've decided today, God, they want to know the God of this plan. God, they want to give their life over to you. Father, this is not simply a prayer, but today, God, they're taking an active step because, God, they want to start Bible studies or be baptized, rebaptized, or rededicated. This is the day where their lives will be transformed and be changed from now until eternity. I pray right now that you would seal that decision in the name of Jesus. God, whatever the enemy has planned to separate them from the decision that they've made today, I pray, God, that you would thwart his hand and allow them to experience the fullness of your presence. Pray, Jesus, that God, this word would not just be information, but God, it would incite transformation. So, God, we might be able to see you when you break through those clouds. Father, if you could just do this, we will forever give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that is due to your name. Let every believer say amen and amen. You may be seated.